You've tuned to Global Roots Radio, a multicultural show featuring a different guest host each week to showcase the indigenous sounds, language, and culture of Kansas City's international community. Here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Global Roots Radio. My name is Niloufar. I thank you for tuning in and invite you for a really exciting show today featuring musicians and actors, performers here in the studio who are going to tell us about an exciting upcoming project called the Storytelling Project. We have Amado Espinoza and Karen Lissandra here in the studio, as well as many, many performers. And we're going to hear music and learn about the Bolivian Cosmovision through which personal stories and physical storytelling is going to take place. We're going to learn all about that in just a few minutes. Getting started with today's show, I'd just like to thank all those who donated during our fund drive. Greatly thank you, especially those who donated to this particular program and all those who have been supportive over time. Again and again, KKFI is here because of you, and we're really grateful as we are a part of it as well. A special show today, as we have many people in the studio, and we're hoping everybody gets a chance to introduce themselves and let you know why they're here. But to give you a little bit of background, they're here to tell you about the Storytelling Project. It is a devised piece directed by Karen Lissandra with composer Amado Espinoza, and we're going to get started with introductions. So introduce yourselves, please.
My name is Marianne McKenzie. I'm a second-year MFA acting and directing student at UMKC, and I am playing Kusio, who is a trickster-type character in the show.
My name is Chelsea Kinzer. I am also a second-year MFA acting and directing student at UMKC, and I am playing Opo, a crazy mountain man.
My name is Emily Karras. I am also second-year MFA acting and directing student working together. And I am playing Caporal slash Mornada, which is a Bolivian mask character. And we're exploring with Caporal the kind of duality between chaos and clarity, between the earthly frenetic energy and what it means to kind of reach a higher level of zen in the craziness.
My name is Jason Franciscan, and I am also a second-year MFA acting and directing candidate at UMKC, and I am playing Siervo, and my duality is pride and humility.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yetunde Felix Uku. I'm playing Anya, who is like the ancestral godmother of the show, a mix of Rafiki and spice and everything nice.
I'm Karen Lissandra. I'm directing this wild journey through the Bolivian Cosmovision, and along with Amado Espinoza back here. Yeah, we've been putting this together since last September.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about what you mean by the Bolivian Cosmovision, but why not hear about it first? So listen to a piece that you're going to perform?
Yeah, this piece is called Love is a Fine Wine, and I wrote it specifically for this show. So here it goes. They say love is a fine wine. Drink it slow, it gets better with time. It gets better with time, 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 time. A seed that grows in the sunshine all gets washed away in high tide. Left to extremes, it will die, 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 die. It can melt if it gets too hot or wither. God, don't hold it too close.
to the flame. Crush it in your claws. You're to blame. You're to blame. Take a chance. Start the dance. Lead or follow into the trance. Fall into the trance. It can melt if it gets too hot or wither. If or God don't hold it too close to the flame, crush it in your claws. You're to blame. You're to blame. They say love is a fine wine. Drink it slow. It's better with time. It gets better with time. With time.
How does that fit in with your character in the storytelling project?
My character is like a nature-y mountain person that lives out in the forest, and my duality is cruelty and mercy, and I'm also friends with all the animals. So I just kind of wrote a song based on the imprint that my character gave me and tried to involve nature and animals and stuff like that.
When you first heard about this project or learned about it and learned about your character, how did you approach it? Did you approach it through music first or through the other side of it first, of figuring out what the story is really?
I think it came to me through music, because a lot of things just come to me through music.
Well, your character sounds really interesting, duality, in a way. Where's sort of the organization, that chaos, do you think, for that character?
I think that chaos deals with the fine line between cruelty and mercy, and I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out my character.
Yeah, what's cool about this, as I'm actually learning as I'm talking to everyone in the room and talking to Karen earlier, is that what's cool about it, it seems like it's more about a process than necessarily sort of a definitive outcome. Karen, what do you think? Did I maybe get it kind of right? Yeah, when we started, we actually had no idea what we were going to be doing.
Yeah.
So, and that's the name of the storytelling project, because we didn't know what story we were going to tell. But as we learned with all the actors in the show, getting to know them, then we just had this idea, why don't we cast them into the Bolivian mythology, into characters that are in some of the carnivals and in some of the rituals, but there's not much written history about them. Just sort of cast them, and these characters are in different parts of Bolivia. So for instance, the one that Chelsea has, it's from the forests of Bolivia, the jungle region, and it's basically animal whisper, and we're like, oh, that'll be Chelsea. Yeah, and it has a lot to do with the rituals that the people of that community, they'll do a dance to this, to the character that Chelsea plays. Mm-hmm. And so after we figured out everybody's character, then we're like, okay, what kind of story are we going to tell? We had some assignments for them that they created soul texts, or texts based on these dualities, which became the idea of, like, the soul is something that doesn't change, and then their human lives, it's like reincarnation, really. Mm-hmm. That's what changes, but their soul is something that stays the same. So it became the show being those two halves as well, like the mundane worldly side of one of their lives, and then the lives, the essences that they are through these characters.
Wow, so it must have been a journey for everyone in a way. How cool is that?
In a way, it's discomfort, but it's comfort at the same time, because a lot of the words that we are speaking that became the script are words that we wrote. Mm-hmm. We used our imaginations, and we dreamed, and we thought of these words. So even when they were assigning us our characters, they kind of picked up on cues and habits and just their impressions of us. So there's a little bit of each of us, maybe subconsciously, that we don't even realize in our characters. Mm-hmm. So it's been a discovery, but it's also been fun kind of pulling out those things that they initially saw and kind of stretching them and really going for them and playing with those things with words and then having them come alive when we get into rehearsal at night.
So far, we've only heard from one character. So would anyone else like to introduce their character with either a piece or some conversation?
Ah, okay. So my character, Kusio, the trickster, is pretty awesome. So Kusio is part saint, part demon, and can travel to the underworld, where part of his job is to recruit an army of demons to do crazy stuff like dance and wreak havoc on the world. So yeah, I was like, when they handed me the cast sheet with the explanation of my character, I was like, how did they get me so well? Because I've always felt like that's something that I've struggled with, that duality in particular. I was also thinking when Emily was talking, I feel like as actors, there is a duality where it's like, I'm an artist, but there's also, I'm also a spokesperson for myself. In a sense, you have to create your own brand. You're a business person. So there is always sort of a duality that you're struggling with.
There's a not so fun part of it as well, maybe.
Yeah.
It can become fun. You can make it fun. Yeah, but maybe in the abstract, it's like, oh, that's not the part you want to focus on. But it's part of the story. So I'm curious about what your character looks like.
Well, actually, my character is one of the, I think, probably mostly well depicted in art and things like that. Very much traditional mask coloring. Primary color is red, blue, green, yellow. Has a crown, like a devil crown, mm-hmm. with these spiky things on top, and a very long nose that's meant to represent fertility. Also, like a little devil beard. And typically, Kusio is depicted as somewhat bug-like. So I've watched a lot of videos of people dancing in Kusio costumes where they're wearing these like gray coats with like beetle backs and stuff like that. Uh-huh. In keeping with personality, my favorite color is purple. And I found an incredible pair of purple puffy pants mm-hmm. that I'm wearing. And Karen is lending me a shirt that she bought in Amsterdam when she was a kid that totally suits my character. It's, mm-hmm. it's clown shoes, that sort of thing. So I did have a lot of the traditional to go off of, but we've sort of made it into my own personal thing.
Yeah. So we keep coming back to the idea that this is part of mythology, part of Andean mythology, but also it's been personalized by each of you as performers. So what about it was attractive to you, or what about it resonated with you as far as a devilish part, or maybe, because I mean, I don't know if everyone's from Kansas City, if you know, there's so much of your own story that might also play into this character as well. So is there something about your own story that you think kind of really connected with this character?
Yeah, so I'm from St. Louis. I actually did my undergrad at UMKC. I'm from a huge Irish Catholic family, mm-hmm. and we were raised to be very, I don't want to say uptight, but we were raised to be very proper. And I'm the eighth of nine. So growing up, I was always trying to challenge the proper, and I was trying to sort of challenge the norm. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that that's sort of my character's role in the entire play, is I'm challenging what everyone else is doing. I mean, Yetunde is constantly coming out with these, like, very eloquent, Rafiki-type things, and I'm like, what? Oh, that sucks, man, So, yeah, I would say that's definitely impacted my perspective on the character, and I think that's why I related with the character so well.
Yeah, so maybe you were the Kusio of your family?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's just work our way down. So who is next with our character? Who would like to come forward and tell a story? Yeah, you tend
to. My character is so heavily influenced by who I am. I'm actually Nigerian. I was born here in the U.S., but Nigerian culture plays a huge impact on my life. And so my character has actually become this Afro-Bolivian fusion because I'm so Nigerian. so when I was visualizing my character, Chelsea came to her character through music, but I came through mine with the culture lens. And so Anya is this elderly griot style storyteller, and storytelling is how we pass down our history in Africa and especially in Nigeria. And so I saw Anya actually as this old man in the village, you know, telling stories. And so that's who I've kind of brought to life as a female. And my duality is actually strength and weakness. But another thing that's very a defining factor of my character is the age. Anya is both 77 and 7 at the same time. So that youthful playfulness, but also that thing that comes on you when you just happen to get older. And so it's been interesting having the influences of my father and the older men in the village just telling these stories and having that play on me. Then just the joy that children tell stories with. You know, if you've ever listened to maybe a 7-year-old tell a story, it's the most exciting thing in the world in their eyes. And so I think having all of that play in, I'm actually speaking Yoruba. I worked that into the script, and so it's really cool to have such a personal show that gets to be influenced by my culture, mm-hmm. and also is this Bolivian cosmovision at the same time. There's actually even a line in the play about how I'm studying Afro-Bolivian culture, so it's really cool getting to blend the two cultures.
Yeah, that is cool, and also I feel like storytelling is so much a part of maybe second generation of those whose parents grew up in a different country or come from a different culture, but they're kind of submerged and grew up in the U.S., and that stories are a way to relate back to that and to know the history and to know all of that. You worked the language into it and some of the other concepts, but are there any stories that you've kind of worked into it, knowing them to be Nigerian sort of concepts?
Well, Anya's got a little bit more spice than the than an African storyteller would probably have. Uh-huh. And so I can't say that there's any specific stories that like are traditionally African or traditionally Nigerian, but just the style in which she speaks. Like the African storyteller, the African griot is a person who will like bang that loud gourd in the morning at 5 a.m. and, you know, say, this is what I have to say. And that definitely translated to Anya. Anya is going to take over the stage and you're going to listen to her when she's talking because it's very important what she has to say. So that's translated very well. And aside from just a few greetings and a few chantings that are in the Yoruba language, there's no actual stories. Those are more from my personal imagination rather than any traditions that I've taken from maybe my parents or any memories that I have.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's great. Great amount of influence, definitely, to bring into it. Let's see. Emily, would you like to tell
sure.
us a little bit about your duality?
Sure. So my duality was the Caporal Morenada. And I mentioned earlier it was kind of the interplay between frenetic energy and Zen energy. But it's also the duality really dates back to the mask in Bolivia, having the duality of the oppressor versus the oppressed. And I think there's an interesting kind of thing with that, and we halfway through the rehearsal process kind of had to switch the lens because that's such a big lens. Like, how do you play a character? Like, what is that character? Is the oppressor and the oppressed? And Karen and I and my classmates, and we've all been like working to kind of figure out where that character fits into it. I think with my own personal experience, really what brought me to Caporal was I tend to take a step back and ask meta questions a lot, like, oh, wait, what about this? What about this? But then also experience, or at least see the experience on both sides of things. And so what's greatly influenced my journey, as well as my character's journey in the story, has been my own experience traveling as a white middle-class American woman traveling throughout the world and wondering what my place is in terms of being a responsible tourist, appreciating other people's culture while also not wanting to diminish other people's culture by simply being present in it. And so my journey starts out at the beginning of the play as kind of as that traveler experiencing that from a pretty like new, young perspective, and then moves throughout the story into asking some of those questions in the context of being a reincarnated being and searching for how we find these connections in life that interlace us, but then also separate us from each other.
That's a kind of a tough one.
Yeah.
you can go to a lot of places with it and then really maybe focus on one specific thing. Did you decide to do that, to focus on specific experiences to bring into your character, or think more broadly of what the concept of being oppressed or being an oppressor is?
We tried the pretty broad thing, and it wasn't really reading well, I think, from the theatrical perspective. And so I share my kind of soul text scene with Jason, who's also here with us today, or Ciervo. And we went through 17, 18 revisions. So we kept going, oh, that doesn't work. Let's try a new scene. Oh, that doesn't work. Let's try this. So we revised that section of the script many times. And so it really started to work once we made it personal and really brought in a specific experience, a story about a specific experience, and really narrowed it down. So
maybe give us a hint about that specific experience. Not the whole thing, but maybe just a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. It draws on an experience that I actually had when I was traveling a few years ago in Thailand, and just some of the questions that came up. But I was in a little market up in the mountains in the village, and I was eating these fried dough balls and drinking warm soy milk from this local vendor. And she didn't speak any English, and it was a pretty remote area, and I was the only white person there. And then I was looking around, and I was the only foreigner, and I was having all these feelings of like, wow, this is so cool. I should be like documenting this. I should be taking pictures. I should be. Then I was like, wait, what is that to not respect someone else's daily life and daily activity and daily routine of me, but being there and then like taking it in to figure out who I am through their daily life and experience. And so that's kind of has influenced that. Yeah, that experience.
Yeah, I like that. I think we've all been there at some point, grabbing that phone and then realizing, oh, right, this is not the right...
not the time.
I did it wrong. I'm going about it the wrong way. So, Jason, how about you? If you want to grab a mic and get up close and tell us about your character and your duality.
So, like I said, I'm playing Ciervo, and my duality that I am working with him is pride and humility. And the way I've kind of tied this together with my own personal story is in a way that where pride can get in the way of expressing who you really are, and how, you know, we need to find those moments where we humble ourselves and just accept who we are, and, you know, let it be known to the world, no matter what the repercussions might be. And so that's kind of what I've been exploring through my soul text with Emily and through this character so far.
Which is pretty challenging on a daily basis. Okay, tell me how you went about it in this situation, like in the storytelling project. How did you go about sort of honing it into maybe a specific experience or story?
So for me, I drew from personal experience and something I went through personally in my life, and that was when I was coming out. And I grew up in a very conservative Christian family, you know, went to church every Sunday. I was on the worship team at church and, you know, very involved in my church. And I had these things that I was feeling on the inside that I was constantly told, you know, were wrong and things that I shouldn't be feeling. And I held it all inside. And, you know, I said in one of the versions of the text that we had written at one time that I was like suffocating on the inside. And I was, because I wasn't letting myself live my truest life, you know? And so just kind of drawing from that experience, you know, that I actually went through in my life was kind of how, you know, we found this.
Do you have a costume or a musical piece also?
I have a costume, yes. Ciervo is represented by a deer. And so the mask I wear is actually a deer skull that was beautifully designed. The reason I chose a deer skull was kind of plays into what I was saying earlier about how I felt I was suffocating on the inside, and I felt like there was just this hole inside me that felt, you know, dead in a way, and that eventually I needed to let out and almost breathe life into.
Wow, this is really a year and a half of you guys exploring this. That's a lot. And it's really great that it's all coming together in this performance. And there's visuals, there's music, and there's obviously storytelling. was the opening piece from the upcoming storytelling project that's going to be in performance February 23rd through March 4th. We have musicians, actors in the studio. Karen's going to tell us a little bit about that piece. The storytelling project is directed by Karen Lissandra and composer is Amado Espinoza. And we have musicians in the room, and Karen, I'll let you tell us what we just listened to.
So the song you just heard, that's the opening song from the show, and it was based off an improvisation that we did last semester. We have this very interplanetary instrument called the handpan or hang drum, which is kind of, I mean, it looks like a spaceship mm-hmm. or a turtle shell.
Yeah.
The concept of it is based on the steel drum. But it's a very modern instrument. So one of the ideas that we had was to mix like something very ancient and very modern. It's tuned in a very Japanese tuning, which really has nothing to do with the show, but it creates like this ambient that is a little uncomfortable. Although the scene in itself is very much like we are not on this planet. It's just very universal. We are somewhere in the universe. The ladies are rotating like planets and playing the frame drum, which is something that also dates patriarchal times. So we wanted to start the show with a strong feminine energy.
You can sense that in the room as well. You know, there's a lot going on as far as the set is concerned. So we have costumes, we have masks, but there's also the set design. And there's something very specific about the set that you were talking about a little bit earlier that I think would be of some interest. That's the Andean cross.
Oh, yes. So being a part of this Spanish, of the show, as an audience member, you are participating in this, in a sense, you know, theater goes back to the earliest rituals. It's something that's really in our DNA. And it's being performed on a set that was painted by Sandra Lopez, and she's a set designer, and it's the Chacana, or the Andean cross, which is basically, it's the portal between the three worlds in the Andean mythology, which is, Amado, and you can tell this better, but the three worlds, kind of like Ukupacha, Kaipacha, and Hanapacha. Pacha means earth. Or space. There's a lot of things symbolically that goes on in the set design. And I mean, we don't explain it all, but there's something that the subconscious might resonate on a very subtle level.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that could be really fun too, to see if, as an audience member, if you can figure out sort of what you're responding to emotionally or intuitively or however it may be, that there's something out there you can't quite, you know, intellectualize, but you're definitely getting it. And I wonder how much of that played into directing this, that, you know, telling the story of Andean mythology, but at the same time trying to, like, really keep it at a place of relatable, emotional, maybe spiritual place at the same mm-hmm. time, like keeping it at the forefront at the same time trying to expand to this bigger mythology. How did that work for you in this? I mean, I know part of it probably was, you know, casting the way that you have. That's mm-hmm. that seems to tell that story in a way. But beyond that, as a director, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there was a few Andean concepts that we took and we stuck to because, I mean, the Andean mythological world is something that's part of their history. It's huge. It's just as real as a shared history that we share. So the concepts that we took were the Pachacuti, which means basically the opening or the time-space reversal. So thanks to chaos, thanks to our shadow selves, we are able to learn. Things are revealed. So it's the Andean version of the apocalypse. the alpacalypse.
Right, yeah. And it could be a very cathartic experience right now as well, as we're all kind of going through our own personal and possible global apocalypses.
Oh, yes. Very concentric.
Yes, indeed. And music, so tell me a little bit, you started out talking about the music a little bit, about choosing specific instruments that create a mood. So how much was the playfulness between sounds that may not necessarily fit into Andean culture but create the mood that you're trying to set, and how much of it was maybe some traditional Andean instruments?
It's both. Amado does play the charango, but he's mixed it with the banjo, which in itself, instruments are all about migration. So it's an invention of Amado's that he composed for one of Yetunde's text, her soul text. So it's something that is very, in its symbolism, very migratory.
Mm-hmm.
but very new at the same time. The sound designers, there are four of them, they've learned a lot about the Andean instruments, and they're creating a lot of sounds based on the textures for these characters that they've created with their own designs, their own color, we'll say. We've used other instruments that have very strong symbolism, like the frame drum, which is something like very like female. And then we've also used the didgeridoo, which is in Aboriginal culture in Australia. It's something to cross over into the dream time, using those and just the symbolism also of the drums and the long didgeridoo. It's, yeah, very interesting.
Definitely.
Huh. Just realized that. No.
What about colors? Are there any colors that were chosen specifically to represent either part of a culture or part of a mood or emotion?
Well, we've had with every actor in the show has designed a mask, and so they're all wearing masks, and they've chosen their own colors to represent who they are. Colors to every particular character is very important.
The way I see it is that this could go on for years. So, yeah
totally.
Looking at me like, sure, it's been a year and a half. We'll see how it goes.
We're trying to go to Italy.
Oh, yeah?
Trying to go anywhere we can.
Oh, okay. So there's a possibility of touring with this then. You're thinking that way as well. Oh, great. Okay. Well, then, yeah, definitely. Awesome.
If Karen still likes us by the end.
No pressure.
Yeah. And that's one thing with the process that Amado and I have been trying to transmit with the devised process. The devised theater is not very common here in the States, but in other places on Earth, it's like in South America, that's all the theater I've done. A professional independent artist working theater in Argentina, Bolivia, you'd never think, but it's like I've been super blessed. There's a big infrastructure that really maintains this kind of art form. And in Europe as well, there's a lot of independent devised theater.
Well, explain what you mean by devised theater. Oh, what does that mean?
It's a unique original show. So it's a company that usually works together every show. So they'll create a show all together, and then when it has its natural death, they'll make another show. But it's one company, and they sometimes they live together, so it's more of a community. Sometimes they'll have projects I've worked on, it's rehearsals from 8 to 1, they'll eat together, and then everybody will like do their afternoon job and come back the next day. Others have been from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty incredible because you're always getting very innovative stuff. So we don't start with the scripts. Yeah, it's created.
Yeah, it's very engaging. I think it's a different type of engagement as an audience member or listener or viewer to be a part of it, because you really feel invested in a different way.
Well, there's not much known about other kinds of mythologies. So we learn a lot about Greek mythology, especially in theater. But there's so much other richness in other cultures. And because Amado is Bolivian and knows a lot about it, I spent 6 years really in theater and studying a lot of the rituals. We thought it'd be a great place to teach from. And then there's so many similarities to other types of mythology. It's like, oh, it's something that we can relate to, and it's something brand new at the same time. So it's unique. It's a hero's journey. It's very much an emotional journey as much as a journey into the unknown.
Yeah, and how did you personally first learn about it?
The Bolivian Cosmovision?
Yeah.
I live there. The invisible world in Bolivia, it's so present. Like, I can't explain it, because you have to go there and experience it. But like since day one there, it's something that I was not introduced to, but it's just as alive as what we present, what we live, really. So, things from that culture about the duality of life and death are teaching points for all of society, of something that might bring a little bit of tranquility in all of this chaos as well. So,
all right, with that, let's listen to the next piece.
Thank you.
Going around one more time, introducing yourselves and telling us your duality. Right here.
I'm Marianne McKenzie, and I'm playing Kusio, who has the duality of the grotesque and the sublime.
My name is Chelsea Kinzer. My character is Opo, and my duality is cruelty and mercy.
My name is Jason Franciscan. I am playing Siervo, whose duality is pride and humility.
My name is Yetunde Felix Uku. I'm playing Anya, whose duality is strength and weakness.
My name is Emily Karras. I am playing Caporal, and my dualities are the oppressor and the oppressed, or chaos and clarity.
All MFA actor and director students at UMKC here in the studio on Global Roots Radio. And Karen, if you had to choose a duality, what would yours be?
I've been saying it's director and wife. But they're not really. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So, my duality, gosh. Right, the first thing off the top of my head would be stillness and chaos.
Okay.
True, I heard it true.
There are a lot of nods around the room, so you probably chose well. And Amato, what would your duality be if you had to choose? You have to do this, please.
I didn't think about it.
Yeah. So right off the top of your head, today, right now, what would your duality be?
Today, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you all for being here again. Congratulations, and we hope you'll come back again at some point if you're not so busy touring and exploring this project.
In Italy, but
yeah, right. Maybe we can Skype or something. Don't forget about us in Kansas City. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is Global Roots Radio, and we're going to take a